We've got 6 action cams. I could tell you, hey, here's the best action cam. Or I could just show you.
Exactly. You can decide. You can make the judgment call on what you need your camera to do based on what you see from this show. It's sort of like taking each of the 6 cameras for a walk yourself.
You can't always do that. You can't go out and spend the thousands of dollars to buy 6 4K action cams and give them all a try yourself and hope that you got the right one. And certainly buying online is a great way to save money, but sometimes you're going to get the wrong thing and be dissatisfied with the purchase, and we want to try to preempt that for you.
Exactly.
And that's why we do this. And that's why we provide these unbiased product reviews. I want to show you my rig. This is cool. I think it's cool.
It is cool.
This is $4,000 worth of camera hardware on $30 worth of PVC.
Perfect.
That's the definition right there. So this is what we had out in the field today. And so what do we have? I suppose I can move my coffee mug out of the way now.
Away from me, I see that. Yeah.
Let's move some of this stuff out of the way.
Okay.
There we go. Don't forget about them. Okay.
So,
can he do it by memory? Point to one. DJI Osmo 4K with a 3-axis gimbal. That one is a Garmin Ultra Verb 30. That is an SJCAM SJ5000X. That is a Nikon Key Mission 170.
Nice.
A Sony FDR X3000.
Good job.
And that one, this one's a tough one. Try to write this down on a business card. Olympus Stylus Tough TG Tracker.
I was doing you a favor by leaving that one to last.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for all the favors. So we've got all these great cameras to compare. You'll notice that we've got the SJCAM SJ5000 in the mix. A couple of reasons for that. First of all, I know that when you're shopping online, you see the SJCAM cameras and you think, why is it so significantly cheaper than, say, the Garmin Ultra Verb 30? Okay. So I want to show you. Again, I'm not going to tell you that it's not as good. That's not what this review is going to do. I'm going to show you the difference in quality.
Right.
Okay? So all of these cameras are using factory settings. So it's going to give us a real view of what do these cameras really look like out of the box. We're going to go through some of the things that we've learned with each of the cameras. And I'm going to tell you right off the bat that, unfortunately, now, we were outside today. And it was fairly cold.
It was really cold.
The wind chill took it down to minus 17 degrees Celsius.
Right.
And it felt a little cooler than that down by the water. And you're going to see us down by the water in a couple of minutes' time.
Right.
Now, a lot of these action cams are designed to be action cams, obviously. And so you would expect that they're going to perform when you're downhill skiing and snowboarding and things like that.
Right. They're available everywhere, which means their intended use is for everywhere.
That's the intention for sure.
Yes.
Take it out, shoot video. You want to push record and it's going to start recording. You don't want to have problems. And you certainly want to be able to take it into any atmosphere. If you are shooting in the cold, I'm going to just tell you right now, the Nikon Key Mission 170 failed us. It filmed 2 minutes worth of video and then shut down, saying that there was that the battery was cold.
I didn't know that was an option, Robbie, because I was pretty much feeling the same way.
Yeah. Just shut down.
I am cold.
All the rest of the cameras kept rolling.
Yes.
We only got 2 minutes of video on the Nikon Key Mission 170.
Right.
The first error message that we got while we were shooting this morning, the Key Mission 170 said, after just 2 minutes of recording, battery exhausted. Then I turned it back on and it said battery cold, and it gave me some kind of warning that it was going to shoot in a lower resolution mode, and then it shut off.
Right, which, I mean, I guess that as a failsafe, if that had worked, that's great. So if it was cold, just shooting in a lower quality, say you get like the 4K in the ideal conditions, but then something a little bit lower when it's too cold.
I want to be
hot.
The one to tell my camera when to turn down the resolution.
But the fact that it just failed and stopped altogether, that, I mean, that's a no-go.
And unfortunately, the Nikon Key Mission 170 also overheated in our tests indoors.
It's
no
persnickety one.
Yeah, none of the other cameras had the issues that we saw with the temperature variances with the Nikon Key Mission 170. All the other cameras worked perfectly well. Okay, so we're going to get right into it. I'm just going to let you know, and when you, you're going to ask about, well, was the battery charged? All six of these cameras had full charge batteries when we left this morning.
Right.
We turned them all on at the same time and pressed record at the same time. There might have been a 3-second variance between when I turned on this camera and when I finally got over to this one. It didn't take too long. So, and this was actually the last one that I turned on because I went left to right.
And they all had the same amount of memory in it. They all had the Kingston SD cards.
Yep,
right?
They had 64 gig Kingston micro SD cards. All of these are micro SD, so we were able to go with the best, and we put Kingston SD cards in all of them, which basically means rather than giving any one of these cameras an unfair advantage, we gave all of them an unfair advantage.
Excellent.
So they all should have performed very well. Key Mission 170 unfortunately failed us. We do have a clip of. Later on this afternoon, the audio portion we were able to shoot as well with the Key Mission 170. So that's the only clip that we have of that particular camera. It wasn't overly bright this morning. We were waiting for the sunrise, but 20 after 7, we were still waiting for the sun to come up, and it didn't happen.
And then it happened afterward.
Magnificent. It was pretty neat.
It was a pillar of light.
By that point, I was driving under an underpass of Highway 400 in Barrie. And so I actually pulled over and walked into a parking lot and turned on the rig, and I got a video of that sunrise as well. So so you're going to see a sunrise in low-light conditions as well. Beyond that, our other tests. We did footstep tests with and without human subjects.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about our human subjects.
I was there, and Dave was there doing his international debut. My Dave joined us bright and early.
We were all holding hands and snuggly
so
and keeping
nice.
Warm.
Yeah, he was really cold because he forgot his mittens.
Oops.
Aw,
poor guy.
You know what? He was so struck by the rig and by the cameras that I'm really excited for him to watch this show because I know there's a couple that he really...
See how this one and that one perform.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah. His focus was directed on a couple, and now he'll want to watch back and see exactly how they do. Mm-hmm. And then maybe for Christmas I get one.
Can I just say, Al Peck is just saying, you know what? You could sew a string to Dave's mittens. I think that would be cute. Yeah. Okay, what other tests did we do? We did a spin test. That's when I, holding the camera rig, spin in a circle. And all of the cameras, we're going to see a snapshot, a freeze frame of how they looked during that spin test.
Okay.
So that's kind of a very high motion scenario. So if something was moving very, very quickly, because I spin fast.
Well, which you would use in an action sort of scenario.
Absolutely.
If you're using this camera for
sport. What do the still
shots
look like? Yes. Yeah. What do those still shots look like? Okay. And then we did a run test, which is when I ran at our human subjects. And I mentioned the low light sunrise test. And finally, I shot an outdoor audio test of all of the cameras. All of them performed for that. So we're going to get to hear the sound from each of the cameras. Do keep in mind, as I'm holding the rig right here, I made sure not to put cases on any of them that were possible. The one that does have a case is the Garmin Verb Ultra, the Garmin Verb Ultra 30. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I always mix up Ultra and Verb. That's okay. The Garmin camera, I had to put a waterproof case on it because it does not have any other way to mount to the tripod adapter. But what I did is I replaced the waterproof backing with the one that is meant for audio recording. So the backing has holes in it so that you can actually hear, but we're going to hear how it sounds with the case because that's how it works. And you'll see my SJ Cam, I just mounted it with some elastic bands because I wanted it outside of a housing, and that was going to work for us. This one, interestingly enough, I thought it was going to have trouble with the DJI Osmo,
mm-hmm.
but I got an L bracket here. I put a quarter inch wing nut and a quarter inch nut here, bolt, and just put it in that way, because it's kind of weird, because it doesn't, unlike the other cameras, it doesn't have a threading on the bottom, it has a threading on the side. But a piece of stainless steel for $1.50 from the hardware store did it for us.
That is an impressive rig, Robbie.
It's pretty cool, eh?
Yeah.
So this, why we did this, why it's set up like this, is because we recorded everything simultaneously. So you're going to see an approximately 2-minute video from each of these cameras. It's going to be exactly the same video. but it's going to be shot from each camera. So you're going to be able to compare and go back and feel free, you know, if you're watching this on demand, skim around and compare your two favorite, your three favorite cameras and see what you think. So we're going to get right into it with the SJCAM SJ5000X. That is our lower end alternative to your action cam. It says it's a 4K camera, but technically it is actually a 2K camera, and it's interpolated to 4K at 24 frames a second. So right. That means basically they've stretched the canvas. So it's not true 4K. The SJ5000X is significantly cheaper, but it's really truly just 2.7K, which is fine, but you know, this is a 4K review.
Right, it's not exactly in the same ball field.
Yeah, exactly.
Play-in.
I just want to be clear that it is advertised as a 4K camera, and if you're looking for a 4K camera, it's not truly 4K. I want to be honest with you here. It has gyro anti-shake built in. It's digital, and you can see that it actually shoots fairly smooth video, even though I'm just holding it in hand. Now, this is our spin test. Here's a freeze frame for us, and that's what the freeze frame looks like from the SJCAM SJ5000X. It's not going to be perfect from any, but it's you're going to see the difference. So there's our run test.
Mm-hmm.
You can see anytime I step, there's a bit of a jitter.
Right. It's not a complete... Oh, and there's that sunset. Or sunrise, I mean.
Yes.
See
right over the highway.
Pillar? See that pillar of light? It's awesome.
Very cool. So the camera is fairly impressive for the price, but we're going to compare it tonight to some others as well. Mm-hmm. Let's do the audio test.
Finally, it's my turn. This is a test of selfie mode. So as I walk and hold these cameras in front of me, how does each one look? Also, it's a test of the sound of each of these cameras. So here's our sound check. Hello, I'm Robbie Ferguson. Thanks for watching this demonstration.
Okay, and this is the Olympus Stylus Tough TG Tracker Action Cam. This is the green one from our rig. And you can see that there are some jitters happening as I walk.
Right.
It's not very well stabilized, at least from its default settings. This is a rugged action camera, which is pretty cool. It does shoot full 30 frames per second in 4K. What I mean by rugged is it is basically shockproof.
Right.
So if you drop it from 7 feet, you're okay. It's also waterproof without a case. You don't have to put anything on it.
It's freeze-proof.
It performed just fine. I do notice it has a rather significant fisheye effect compared to some of the other cameras that we're going to be seeing tonight. And there's a bit of a vignette I can see there at the edge as well. Do you see that?
No, I wonder if that's just an out-of-the-box setting that can be disabled.
There's our freeze frame. With the spin test. We don't expect that to be perfectly clear. Let's be clear about that. But we do want to see the difference in the different cameras. So this looks like an okay, to me anyways, it looks like an okay kind of fit in your pocket and carry it with you. I love that it's so versatile as far as taking it in the water. You don't have to put a waterproof case on it.
Exactly.
You can scuba dive with it. I'm talking almost 100 feet down.
Yeah, it's the sort of camera you can take on vacation and you can give to your, you know, one of your kids, you know, to take a shot knowing that they may drop it or it might end up in the water.
Finally, it's my turn.
And it'll be okay.
This is a test of selfie mode. So as I walk and hold these cameras in front of me, how does each one look? Also, it's a test of the sound of each of these cameras. So here's our sound check. Hello, I'm Robbie Ferguson. Thanks for watching this demonstration.
Next up, we've got the Sony FDR X3000 action camera. This one also supports a full 4K. It has a nice stabilization system. This is Sony's stabilization system that they integrate into their handy cams and everything. And it is an optical stabilization system. So even though we don't have a gyro or anything, you can see it is a little bit smoother as I'm walking there. So it provides a really nice, clear video.
My untrained eye completely notices the difference in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't feel your footsteps at all in this shot.
It's a lot smoother than some of the other cameras that we're looking at. It looks good. As well, you know, some of the things about this camera. It does come with a waterproof case, but you do have to put that on if you want to take it in the water. I'll just kind of let you see the difference here. Looks pretty good to me. I don't see a lot of fisheye. There's no vignette.
Here's
our spin, yeah. And there's our freeze frame.
There's my Dave.
For a run test, I'm pretty impressed that it was as smooth as it was. Mm-hmm. That's the Sony FDR X3000, considering it does not have a gyro. But that optical stabilization system really makes a difference.
That is a very clear shot. I really like the picture in this.
You can see the detail in the tree. Look at that against the sky. Very nice.
Finally, it's my turn. This is a test of selfie mode. So as I walk and hold these cameras in front of me, how does each one look? Also, it's a test of the sound of each of these cameras. So here's our sound check. Hello, I'm Robbie Ferguson. Thanks for watching this demonstration.
Next up is the Nikon Key Mission 170, and this is the only clip we have.
My turn. This is a test of selfie mode, so as I walk and hold these cameras in front of me, how does each one look? Also, it's a test of the sound of each of these cameras. So here's our sound check. Hello, I'm Robbie Ferguson. Thanks for watching this demonstration.
Very unfortunate. Very impressed with the video quality. And finally, the Garmin Verb Ultra 30 is up. This one also shoots 4K at 30 frames a second. Has a bit of a darker hue to it. You can see that the exposure is a little lower than the other cameras that we're looking at tonight. But the video quality I'm pretty happy with on the Garmin Verb Ultra 30. You can see it in the finer details. Mm-hmm. Definitely not seeing, you know, out of the box with the settings, we're not seeing quite the exposure, the clarity in this low light situation.
Exactly. Those ducks were clearer in the last duck shot.
Mm-hmm. With some post-production, I think you could really get this to look very nice. But right out of the box, right off the camera, it is quite a bit darker, less detail. And I don't notice any vignetting. I don't notice any fisheye that's to write home about. And with our spin test, performs, you know, as well as can be expected. The run test gives us a real good view because, you know, if you're doing action stuff, you want it to be fairly smooth video. You don't want to have it going blurry, if you will. And the Garmin Verb Ultra 30 performed fairly well in that scenario. And there's the sunset. Again, this is another great shot from this particular camera.
Yeah. Clear branches, that pillar of light. That was breathtaking spectacular.
Finally, it's my turn. This is a test of selfie mode. So as I walk and hold these cameras in front of me, how does each one look? Also, it's a test of the sound of each of these cameras. So here's our sound check. Hello, I'm Robbie Ferguson. Thanks for watching this demonstration.
And last but certainly not least, it's the DJI Osmo. This is a 4K video camera with the three-axis gimbal, and you can immediately see the smoothness of the video. So if you're shooting what we call run and gun, if you're shooting in the field and you want some really smooth video, it's a very small rig. I had a conversation today about how we used to have to use a Steadicam in order to get that kind of video.
Look at this.
Now it is just super smooth. Now I do notice it's on a bit of an angle, and I'm not sure that may be my calibration. Certainly that's not the norm for this camera. I think I had turned it in such a way that it is on an angle, but that can be corrected. Of course, the motors can be adjusted so that just with a thumb on the joystick, it will fix that. But in particular, we're looking at the quality, and there's our spin test. You can see the the camera that popped in there, the Olympus camera, because the gimbal wanted to turn and keep its eye on you two.
Right.
And did you see how it kind of followed you there?
Yeah. Which would be great in the field, like actually in a scenario when you're running past somebody.
Mm-hmm. Look at the difference. Now, this is a lot tighter. Mm-hmm. We don't have quite as wide of a shot. Look at that tree. Look at the building. Mm-hmm. But the clarity and the color and the gradient there is just absolutely stunning.
Finally, it's my turn. This is a test of selfie mode. So as I walk and hold these cameras in front of me, how does each one look? Also, it's a test of the sound of each of these cameras.
So here's our sound check. Hello, I'm Robbie Ferguson. Thanks for watching this demonstration.
Well, there you have it. That's our unbiased look at these cameras. All of these cameras were just on our rig, and we shot it this morning. Lots of great comments in the chat room, and I love your opinions and your thoughts about these cameras. What are your thoughts? Please comment below. Let us know what your favorite is, and of course, do keep in mind you can purchase these through our site. Go to cat5.tv/actioncam. So pick the one that you love, pick the one that is in your price range, and check out cat5.tv/actioncam. Thoughts at this point?
Thoughts at this point is, well, I mean, it's hard to be unbiased about this sort of situation, but as just a, like a casual observer of it, to be honest, and we know that I have a love of robots, and so I find this...
You find the DJI camera pretty impressive?
So adorable.
Oh, my.
And then, like, it functions so well.
So to give you an idea, so watch the DJI camera with the gimbal here. And when I was talking about the level of it, I should have been more conscious of making sure it was level before I started shooting. But of course, I don't have a screen on it, so I couldn't tell. But watch what the camera does. See that? So where these other cameras would suddenly be shooting crooked video.
Exactly.
The DJI Osmo does that. So that's why we're getting that so silky smooth floating video. Mm-hmm. Where the DJI Osmo is not the perfect camera is... You can't really mount it on top of your helmet,
right?
It's really what we call a run-and-gun camera. It's a really neat form factor for shooting video. It's fairly lightweight and allows you to shoot really silky smooth video without a big rig.
Right.
That's the thing, and it is 4K.
I mean, where the Olympus stylus looks... It looks more like the camcorder of old, just shrunk down.
Yeah, did you see this?
Right?
It pops right out, and you've got the screen.
Right. I feel like he performs more like the camcorder of old. Like, you'd want to use that for things like birthday parties and, you know, anniversaries.
Sure.
And
really, really easy to just pull it out and start shooting. Then we've got the Sony camera. This is the FDR-X 3000, and this is the one that... I mentioned was has the optical stabilization, and it has really silky smooth video for a little tiny form factor.
Right. Was that the one? The white balance was so great in that one. Like, it was really.
It was pretty good.
It was good.
Mm-hmm. And the one that that didn't shoot in the cold was the Nikon Key Mission 170, which is such a shame. It was a heartache as I was watching the audio test because the video looks exquisite.
I know, but you know what? If it's not going to work in extreme conditions, who buys a camera that is that persnickety unless you're using your action camera for only indoor use?
Yeah.
Right? Indoor sports.
A quick mention of something that we noticed with the Olympus Stylus Tough TG Tracker. This camera would only shoot 4 gigs of video at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in shooting 4K video, we were getting about 7.5 minutes worth of recording, and then the camera would simply stop recording.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, all of these cameras have the same type of card. We put Kingston 64 gig cards in them. They're all formatted just either by the camera in cases where it was required to format, or just inserted and used out of the box.
Right.
It's possible that maybe reformatting it as XFAT or some other file system may
extend.
Allow it to, but it didn't look like a file system thing. It didn't look like the file system was saying, can't record anymore, stop.
Right.
It looked like the camera was saying, oh, we've reached almost 4 gigs. It's like 3.98, and it stopped recording and did not continue recording.
Right, and it was happy to start recording again.
Absolutely.
But you had to instruct
you had to notice.
To do so. Yes.
You had to notice 7 minutes into your video that you need to push record again.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, would be a problem. I'd be interested to learn a little bit more about why that is. And, of course, file systems, older file systems had a limitation of 4 gigs, so it would stop recording in order to save corrupting the data so that you don't lose your video.
Right.
But I want to see it continue recording. I want to see it at least instantaneously continue recording to a second file if necessary, like the Canon cameras do. Like they just continually keep creating new files. And so you end up, you know, if your video is an hour long, you might end up with 10 videos. but you can put them back to back in your editor. Another interesting thing about this camera, you can see how it is mounted on our rig, and it is upright. The letters, the words, everything is upright.
Correct.
However, the video on the TG Tracker was shot upside down. It was inverted. So we had to take it into our video editor and actually turn it over.
Right.
So if you plugged it into a TV or if you started watching it on your computer, everything would be upside down.
So it's not just plug and play after that.
No.
It's plug,
interesting,
fiddle play.
No, I wouldn't call it a problem, but it's something interesting to realize that you do have to do some post-production on that in order to get any kind of usable video out of it, which we're probably going to want to do anyways. And some of the cameras that have fisheye, we can remove that digitally, again, in post-production using defishing lens. So there you have it. That's our unbiased comparison review of these six action cams. Please do comment below. And don't forget to check out cap5.tv/actioncam. You can get the pricing and purchase any one of these, whichever one you decide is the one for you. I'd love to hear your feedback. I'd love to know what your favorite is, what your comments are about each of these cameras, and any other information that you might want to share with the community.